Welcome to the Resilient Mind Podcast. I'm Sam Bowler, and I'll be your co-host along with my wife, Natalie. Natalie is a licensed professional counselor in Nashville, Tennessee. She works primarily with survivors of complex trauma and specializes in dissociative disorders. The Resilient Mind is a platform for us and our guests to play our part in the bigger conversation around mental health. Specifically, we would like to raise awareness and understanding of complex trauma and dissociative disorders. So, whether you're a survivor yourself or you just stumbled upon this podcast, welcome to the conversation. We're glad you're here. Welcome to the Resilient Mind Podcast. I'm Sam Bowler.
I'm Natalie Bowler.
Natalie, tell me, why did you choose the name The Resilient Mind?
I chose The Resilient Mind because I often work with people who have been through some of the most horrific, difficult, challenging life experiences, and yet they are somehow able to find a way to thrive. And I have found that in order to do so, they have found incredibly creative and resourceful ways to deal with their difficult life experiences. In particular, with complex trauma that has led to dissociative disorders, I have found that the way that the mind handles really horrific experiences has been to just adapt in ways that are quite incredible.
Can you talk to me a little bit about what trauma is in the first place, for those of us who don't know a whole lot about this? Like, what makes something trauma?
I think trauma really looks different for different people. Something that may be traumatic for one person may not be traumatic for another, but I like the definition of trauma as anything that overwhelms a person's capacity to cope.
And is there a difference between trauma and complex trauma?
Not necessarily a difference, but complex trauma would be more somebody who has experienced trauma throughout their life, oftentimes in childhood, which could include things like physical, sexual, emotional abuse, and or neglect. It can also include things like being in captivity or having been trafficked, that kind of thing. But also there is trauma that may be hearing over and over again that you're not good enough growing up. It could be getting in a car accident. It could be experiencing sexual assault while you're in college. It can look a lot of different ways, but complex trauma just tends to involve prolonged, repeated trauma.
Gotcha. I've spent sometime going to therapy at this point in my life, but before going to therapy, before meeting you, before knowing very much about it, I didn't really understand what it was. I also didn't understand necessarily what the point of going back and digging up old experiences and feelings, like what the point of that was. What would you say to somebody if they asked you, what's the point in going back and focusing on these things? Like, isn't it better to just leave the past in the past? Like, what would you say to someone who said that to you? Why is it important?
I actually hear that a lot from clients where they say, I just want to focus on moving forward. I don't want to go back and revisit the past. Sometimes people feel really guilty if they talk about their parents in a negative way. And I often tell people, if you could just move on and leave it in the past, you likely would have already done that. I think all of us would like it if that's how things worked, but that tends to not be the case. A lot of times when we try and bury it in the past, it ends up coming out sideways in our life, maybe in ways that we don't necessarily expect. So that might be, it comes out in the context of our relationships where we're reenacting trauma in them, that sort of thing. And as far as people who experience childhood trauma that involve their parents, I don't necessarily want people to feel like in talking about the past that they have to be saying, my parent is a bad person or my parent was a bad parent, but to notice how your experiences have impacted you and being able to process that and then move past it so that you're not living out of your trauma experiences, which is a way I describe it to a lot of my clients. Sometimes if we don't deal with our trauma, we end up living out of that place, which can cause a lot of problems.
So what does living out of that look like? I'm sure there's multiple things, but what's an example?
If there was a lot of arguing in your home growing up, or if there was any physical abuse in your home growing up, what might end up happening is you find yourself over and over and over again in toxic relationships where you find yourself screaming and yelling at your partner. You may even be hurting your partner physically, or you could be experiencing physical abuse yourself, so domestic violence. And so that's just one example of how it can play out in your life. I think another way that it can play out is you just tend to view yourself very negatively. So I tend to work with people who are quite high functioning, highly successful people, but inside they feel awful about themselves, a lot of negative self-talk, or maybe they really struggle at nighttime. And so that would be another example of living out of your trauma as I see it.
So would you say working with trauma survivors in particular, that part of the point of therapy is to get to a place where you're no longer living out of that trauma or out of the experiences you've had?
Yes, that is what I would say. And I think it's also the trauma just becomes a memory in the past, like some of your other memories. It's not something that has such an emotional charge to it or doesn't intrude upon your mind in a way that's distressing and emotionally overwhelming. You don't feel the need to avoid it. You don't find yourself thinking about it all the time. So you're able to actually put it in the past.
Awesome. So one of the things that was a surprise to me as I started to learn a little bit more about the whole mental health world in general is that there are different kinds of therapy. There's different techniques. I kind of just thought everything was talk therapy. And though I'd never been to a therapist before I had met you and started going to see some different therapists, I didn't realize that therapy was kind of a process. I kind of thought you would go to one or two sessions and be kind of healed. What can you say to people about finding a therapist that's a good fit for them and finding a type of therapy or technique that might help them with what they're going through?
Well, I think finding somebody who's the right fit for you is really, really important. And when I say the right fit, it's not so much about the type of therapy or the modality of therapy. It's more about finding somebody that is able to be a good fit for you and your personality and your life experiences. I think it's really important to find somebody, especially with trauma that has occurred in the context of a relationship, to find somebody that is willing to say they're sorry own their mistakes. That's something I learned quite early on in consultation, is that it's really important to say sorry as a therapist when we make mistakes. So I think that's important, because there likely, if you have a lot of complex trauma in your background, will be some sort of rupture in the therapeutic relationship. And so I think working with somebody who's willing to do the repair with you is extremely important. I think somebody who is a good listener, that's not trying to fix you, is really important. But a good fit, I would say, is probably the most important thing in finding the help that you need. And so I always recommend that people call and see if a therapist will do a 15-minute consultation with you, so you can see how it feels just to hear their voice, talk to them about what you're struggling with, what some of your goals are, that kind of thing.
Awesome. And if somebody is a, say, a trauma survivor, but they haven't really been to therapy much, how can or where can they go to kind of learn a little bit more about what their options are? Because it's kind of a huge world with a lot of different things, and it's hard to know which way's up if you don't know it.
Yes, that is absolutely a challenge that people face. And it's hard too, because there are a lot of therapists that would, I guess, consider themselves trauma therapists, but may not be equipped to work with complex trauma and dissociation. Something that I'm really passionate about is, I think that graduate students should get more education on complex trauma and dissociation, so that they can at least identify dissociation when they're seeing it. But if you, I mean, you can go to psychology today and you can set the preferences to pick the issues that you're dealing with, the types of therapy that you would like to seek out. I also highly recommend looking up therapists on the International Society for the Study of Trauma and Dissociation website, because they have a whole list of therapists that are
Can you repeat the name of that one more time, just so we can be clear, because it's kind of a mouthful?
Sure. It's the International Society for the Study of Trauma and Dissociation. And they just offer some really incredible trainings. I go to their conference every year. I highly, highly recommend them and people who have done any of their trainings.
Awesome. I want to switch gears just a little bit and talk a little bit more personally, because obviously you've spent a lot of time learning about this stuff, and I know that, but I wanted to ask, why did you particularly get into trauma work? What piqued your interest about it? And what made you pursue it and follow through with it?
You know, that's a little bit of a long story, but I have been interested in trauma, whether I use that name or not, probably since I was a child. Not sure if this was really great for me to be watching, but I always loved Law and Order SVU. But really where my passion started was I went to Towson University, and I had some really amazing professors there, including Dr. Bethany Brand, which I'm so grateful to have had her as an early mentor in my life. She does a lot of research on complex trauma and dissociative disorders, and I took her class, Trauma Across the Lifespan. And while I was taking that class, I just, probably even in the first class that I attended, just felt like this is what I want to spend my life doing. And so I spoke with her and asked her how to get more involved in the field and get more experience. And she told me about Shepherd Pratt. And so while I was in undergrad, I believe I was probably a junior.
What's Shepherd Pratt?
It's a mental health hospital, but they have a unit that is a trauma unit there that specializes in trauma and dissociation.
Gotcha.
So While I was an undergrad, I was probably a junior and did an undergrad internship at Shepherd Pratt on their trauma disorders unit. And so while I didn't do leading groups or meeting individually with people or anything like that, because I didn't have the training or education for that, I was able to spend a lot of time on their unit, just spending time with their patients. And so I was able to see the effects of complex trauma and dissociation on individuals and how they survived and coped and just a little bit of how their minds worked. And then I also, well, and I really, really enjoyed that experience. And again, had this feeling of this is really what I'm meant to do with my life. Really, really loved the patients on that unit a lot. So then I also had another professor that was really a big influence on me, Dr. Jonathan Matana, and he taught attachment across the lifespan, which I seem to be particularly interested in disorganized attachment, which has some relation to those who have experienced complex trauma. So following that, I decided to get my master's. I had considered a doctoral program for a long time, but I ended up deciding on going to Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, which is how I ended up here. And my interest in trauma continued from there. I had initially thought perhaps I would want to work with children, and I had a great experience at the Center of Excellence for Children in State Custody or at Risk of Going into State Custody, and had an amazing supervisor there, Dr. John Ebert. And he really encouraged me to continue to be curious about people's experiences, their symptoms. Why were they behaving in the way that they did? And that was really helpful for me because I tend to be a really curious person. But somewhere along the way, I also realized that I also had a trauma history. It's funny, you think that I would have known that prior to entering grad school, but I figured that out somewhere along the way. And so I have also experienced what it's like to experience trauma, go through difficult life experiences, and then also heal from those things. And so I have a lot of hope for people and really believe, regardless of what your experiences have been, if you really want to heal and you're willing to put in the work and go through some of the really difficult things that you need to go through, that healing is possible no matter what your circumstances.
Sounds pretty great. You already touched on all of this a little bit there, but why is it important to share this information with people and make this a bigger conversation?
I think this is such an important topic. I know trauma is a little bit of a buzzword right now, but what I feel like is lacking some is education and knowledge around dissociation. There is so much misinformation and inaccurate portrayals of what specifically dissociative identity disorder looks like. Anybody who has that is not a monster, number one, which I feel that it's portrayed that way in movies sometimes. But really, the people that I work with are some of the most passionate, kind, compassionate people that you could ever imagine, and really are fearful of how they are perceived in the world. And a lot of these people, you would never even know that they have any of this going on. They can function well during the day and at work, and happen to really struggle with trust in relationships, really struggle at night sometimes, but it is something that you may not necessarily see. And so I just feel that more people need to know how complex trauma and dissociation affect people. And hopefully also there would be some prevention, more prevention around child abuse.
My last question was going to be, who would you say this podcast is for?
This podcast is first and foremost for clients, for anybody that feels alone, like you're the only one. You're not. There are other people out there just like you. Of course, you have your own individual experience, but you are not the only one that has been through really difficult things. You're not the only one that struggles with PTSD symptoms. For those that have DID, you are not the only one. It's also for therapists. I hope that through this podcast, they can get some education on how complex trauma can result in dissociative symptoms and just a little bit of a better understanding of that. I also want therapists to understand how we can impact our clients both in a positive way and a negative way. And then this podcast is just for the general public, anybody who is not familiar with trauma and dissociation. It is true that some people experience really, really horrific things. And I think that they really need support from the world.
So raising awareness through this podcast, putting a light on some things that maybe aren't in the normal conversation that everybody's having, will help people feel less alone. And is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, absolutely. I think that will help people feel less alone and also help people to try and do more prevention work.
And prevention work is just work to avoid, what does that mean exactly?
To end child abuse, to try and prevent the intergenerational transmission of trauma, because, you know, you asked earlier in this episode, why deal with trauma? And that is certainly part of it, because if we don't deal with our trauma and we have children, we pass it down to the next generation.
Is that through behaviors or genetics?
Both.
Okay. We should probably do an episode on intergenerational trauma and get into it a little more deeply, because I think that's something that people would learn a lot from and benefit from.
Sure. That sounds great.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please join us next week when we talk about pacing yourself in the therapeutic process.